Good evening and welcome to you tonight. Thank you for your presence here. I want to begin with something unrelated to the message tonight, but just by way of being mindful of the life of the church and in an attempt to minister to those in the congregation that are dealing with lots of different things. I want to start with a reading from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Amen. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Amen. Beyond what we've been dealing with this week as a congregation in regard to our brother Bill Morgan, there are many others that are dealing with various things too. And there are lots of things I could mention, and I'll just mention a few. As many of you know, Patty Asbill is continuing to wrestle with her cancer, and they're looking for some alternative approaches to try to help with that, and she's in need of our prayers tonight. Also, we want to pray for Teresa Walt's situation, having just lost her mother, and in her grief, we want to pray for Teresa. And then also Mike Wilson, one of our members here, has been rather sick this week and been in the hospital. And they think they've got his situation determined, what's going on there, and trying to give him some relief. But he's been in considerable pain, and we want to pray for him tonight too. So let's bow. Let's bow tonight. And we're going to also mention Michelle. Michelle has been has come and mentioned many times in our assembly some of the things that she's been wrestling with, and many of us have been trying to offer help to her, and it looks like we have an option for her to transition into another opportunity that will allow a program that will help her to be able to move into some independence and give her some help that she needs in a lot of areas. And so we're very thankful for that opportunity for Michelle too. So let's pray together. Our gracious God, we are thankful that you give us this hope that although we might weep now, it only stays for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that joy comes to us because of Jesus and what he's done. But while we go through times in this life when we are wrestling with the depths of this life, and when we call to you for help, we thank you, Father, that you hear us. And so tonight we do lift up Patty Asbill and Randy as he stands with her. We pray, Father, that you would provide some unforeseen new treatment that might be effective with her cancer. But Father, we know she's a great woman of faith, and she puts her trust in you, that come what may, Father, she knows who her Savior is and where she's headed. But we pray, if it is your will, that you would extend her life and her health at the present time by all means necessary, if it is your will. And we do also pray, Father, for continued recovery and healing for Mike Wilson, as he's been under considerable duress this week. And we pray, Father, for Teresa in her grief. She's been such a faithful caregiver for her mother these past 2 years. And Father, now she deals with not only losing her mother, but Father, readjusting back to life, no longer being that source of support. I pray, Father, for her comfort and help and strength, along with Bill, who is her faithful husband by her side. And Father, we're thankful that Michelle Bang has come to us on many occasions with many different needs, and we've been able to try our best to help her in various ways. And Father, now it looks like a new door of opportunity has opened for her to be able to step through a process where she can be helped upward in her life. And I just pray, Father, that she would be diligent to be working through the program and the pathway that has been set before her, and that you would also help those that are in this ministry to be patient with her and to be able to work through this so that Michelle in a few months can be in a much better place all around in her life. Bless our time spent in your word tonight, Father, and I pray that you would strengthen our souls and help us to understand what we're here for and what we're all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is an internal dialogue that is continually happening inside of each one of us. It is a conversation within, and it goes something like this. What is going to give me life? Where will I find meaning? What's going to give me happiness in this life? What is going to bring my soul the satisfaction that it so desperately craves? We've been talking for the last 7 weeks about the nature of the human soul. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. And your soul is the most important part of you, because it is you, and it must be diligently cared for and kept. The soul is constantly craving more, always more. Have you noticed that about you? That no matter what job you get, no matter what car you drive, even when you find that perfect house that you think is your forever home, there is something deep inside of you and me that seems never fully satisfied. Because our souls are restless. We're always looking for the things we think we ought to have, the things we must have. And that's because the soul needs satisfaction. It's very interesting to me that the Hebrew word that is most frequently translated with the English word soul, the Hebrew word nephesh, is literally a word that means your throat. It's often translated as throat or mouth or stomach. What does the soul have to do with your throat? It's because the soul, the Bible recognizes that the soul is always hungry, continually striving, always thirsting for something more to fill it. And it's quite maddening, is it not? Solomon made this observation in Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 22. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving for which they labor under the sun? You see, Solomon came to know on his journey after meaning that the soul is always unsatisfied. It's always hungry, thirsty, hollow and empty. C.S. Lewis famously described this phenomenon of the human soul in a very familiar and often quoted passage in some of his writing. I've shared it before, but it's appropriate that I share it again here. He said this, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." The soul seeks satisfaction, a satisfaction that, as Solomon would discover in the book of Ecclesiastes, is never found here under the sun. It's found beyond it. But the soul is continually striving to try to find meaning. And in all of our striving, the soul works hard to try to find what is going to bring satisfaction. And usually the human soul most often will pursue this deep-seated hunger through career and occupation. The soul just can't seem to help itself. It works to find meaning. Along this line, John Ortberg, in his book Soul Keeping, on page 164, says this, "A research group affiliated with the University of Chicago recently listed the 10 least happy jobs in the world, and then the 10 happiest jobs in the world. Are you interested yet?" What they found was that the 10 least happiest jobs actually were more financially lucrative and offered higher status than the 10 happiest jobs. The difference? People in the happiest jobs had a higher sense of meaning. Less money, less status, but a higher sense of meaning. The main thing, Ortberg observes, the main thing that you bring home from your work is not your paycheck. The main thing you bring home from your work is your soul. The real pathway to a satisfied soul is found, are you ready? In the most counterintuitive way. It's exactly the opposite of what you would expect it to be. Here's what Jesus had to say about it, about how the soul can really find the satisfaction that it so desires. Matthew 16 and verse 25. "For whoever wants to save their life." Now, by the way, the word life there in both places in this verse literally is the Greek word that means soul. So it's probably better translated that way. So let me start again. "For whoever wants to save their soul will lose it. But whoever loses their soul for me will find it." I know that, particularly if you're new to the teachings of Jesus or brand new to Bible reading, that sounds like double talk, confusing riddle. What in the world does Jesus mean when he says, if you really want to find what life is truly about, if you really want your soul to find the satisfaction it so desperately seeks, then you have to lose it, lose your soul. What? Because if you lose your soul for Jesus' sake, you'll actually find yourself. You'll find what brings you purpose. You'll find what brings you satisfaction. But if you spend all of your life trying to save your soul. You spend all of your life trying to accumulate and bring into yourself what the meaning of life is. You'll find that you lose it in the end. It's a paradox. Paradoxical truth of the soul. And here's the paradox. The soul is incapable of satisfying itself, and at the same time, it is incapable of living without satisfaction. The soul just can't live with itself without being satisfied, and yet the soul within itself doesn't have the ability to satisfy that longing. So do you see the dilemma that we face? You see the struggle that Solomon says in Ecclesiastes? What are we going to get for all this toil and anxious striving that we labor for? Do you understand why Job would say that man is a few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward? It's like, how am I going to reconcile this inner turmoil of the soul seemingly not being satisfied? But Jesus tells us right here in Matthew 16:25. He indicates that that only by losing our souls in Him will our souls come to be satisfied. It is the paradox of soul satisfaction that it's only when I die to myself and lose my life into Christ that my soul comes to life. That's why Jesus would say, I am the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me if you want life to the full, Jesus would say. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink, and they'll have rivers of water flowing from within them. Christ in you, Paul would say to the letter to the Christians in Colossae, Christ in you is the hope of glory. See, it's so counterintuitive to say the way that my soul will be satisfied is I have to give up the drive that my soul has to try to find satisfaction in myself, and I have to lose that, so that Christ and He alone becomes the satisfaction of my soul. It's the wrong approach to your soul thirst to try to go the pathway of human achievement and material wealth, because the soul is never satisfied with all of that. It's like a black hole that just consumes more and more and more and forever leaves it yet still empty. Self-satisfaction is not about acquiring the right things. It is about acquiring the right soul. And what Jesus, I think, is telling us here in Matthew 16 is He's giving us the secret to soul satisfaction. And it is this. If you seek happiness, now hear me on this now. If you seek happiness more than you seek Jesus, you will get neither. But if you seek and serve Jesus more than you seek happiness, you get both. Amen. That's the secret. And that's why Jesus would say, seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I think Isaiah the prophet was reflecting this in Isaiah 55:1-2 when he explained this reality, and I want to close with this quotation from the prophet. Isaiah 55:1-2, listen to it with your heart. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. The soul, yours and mine, was made to only find its true satisfaction in God alone. And I'm just telling you, I'm telling me, Scripture's telling us, go anywhere else you want to, and it'll leave you high and dry. So stop pursuing empty cisterns, as Jeremiah would say, and come to the one who has the only water that can satisfy your soul. If we can help you in any way to come to know Him better, we'd love to do so tonight as we all stand together and sing.